Before this last time you've asked me to preach, and it was back in 2008. I'm sure you all remember it ever so well. I think you had Pastor Danny then, and he, like me at times when I was a pastor in a church full time, if you've got a difficult passage, pass it on to somebody else, I think. And this passage is quite a difficult passage. When I read it, I thought, thank you, Gareth, for getting it, because it's one long sentence, isn't it? And it's a long prayer. And I've been to, in fact, I've even heard people pray in this place long prayers, not recently, but in fact, your ears might have burnt, because I used to do a lot of prayer workshops and talk about long prayers, and one always came to mind of here. Sorry if I'm making anybody, it's a slight embarrassment. You might even know who it was. And it was just a simple prayer for somebody to go off to a nursing home. And it went on for 15 minutes because I timed it. So it was a good prayer. It went on for a long time. And we finally got to the bit we were all waiting for. And finally, Lord, will you bless our sister as she moves into this accommodation? And that was it. It went on and it covered everything. And I feel Paul is trying to get everything crammed in here. It's glorious. To be honest, I could take months to preach these few verses. Couldn't I? Do you understand them? Ooh, you have to talk to me. Well, perhaps it's just the thick preacher you've got today who doesn't understand them that well. In fact, if you want to look at a Bible, there's some outside if you haven't got one there. It's. I wonder if he took any breath, but it's just he was obviously writing it down as it's coming into his mind as the Holy Spirit's given him to. He's so excited by it, Paul, but it's just one long prayer, really, and there's so much of it, it really could take a long time to unpack it, so you'll have to forgive me if I only look at the bare bones this morning of this. I won't take 3 months, but I might take 30 minutes. Would that be all right? Maybe 28 if you respond nicely. I was here last time with 3 chairs, and I thought, perhaps, could I do anything with chairs? And I thought, no, the only thing I could do today is sit on them, which I might have to do yet. But let's start. The first thing that verses 15 and 16 tell us of this scripture is quite interesting. For this reason, ever since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. It's very interesting. My friend Colin Urquhart, who's now gone to be with the Lord, says this is these verses speak of the evidence of the Ephesian believers belonging to Christ. It's the evidence of belonging to Christ. It's not just saying I go to church, or I pray, or I sing songs, or I read the Bible. Not that they had a Bible as such to read at that time. But the evidence that they belong to Christ and share completely in his life, Colin Urquhart says, is seen in their faith and the way that they love one another. That without love, it is impossible to have a living, active faith. Because if God is love, if we say we love him, then obviously we need to reflect that outwards, don't we? Faith and love can't be separated. God loves us, so we must reflect that love to other people. And it sort of comes naturally. I remember getting converted and being full of the Holy Spirit. And I lived on this road where there was a guy called Jeremy. And Jeremy, I went to school with, I didn't like him. Sorry, I screwed my face up like that. He was horrible. I lent him a tent to go camping, and it came back with burn holes in it where he'd stubbed his cigarettes out in it. I didn't lend him another tent again. He wasn't a nice guy. He was just unpleasant. And I would try and avoid him if I could. I had to walk past his house to get to our house. And does that ring any bells over with anybody? Anyway, I came back from church. I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the love for Jesus. And as I walked past this guy's house, I wasn't contemptuous of him. I just felt a deep sense of God's love for this guy. He changed my attitude instantly, dramatically, over this person. I can't tell you if he ever came to faith. I've no idea at all. But my attitude changed towards him. From a guy I couldn't stand the sight of, if I'm honest with you, because he caused me a lot of harm, to somebody all of a sudden who God says, I love this person. They were made in my image. They're unique and special. Therefore, reflect my love. I don't know if I'd lend him another tent, though, but that's another story. But let me read you some scriptures. Are you out there? You're very quiet this week. I'm not sure I'm... Are you sure? That's good. Wouldn't want you not to. Some scriptures that relate to this concept of love and reflecting God's love. John 13, Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples. Why? Because you love one another. That's the evidence that Paul is recognising here in this church in the Ephesians. He never met them. He'd only heard about them. But he could see their love for one another, the love for God's people. It's quite clear. Greater love is no man than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Live a holy life of love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you. Well, Peter says it as well. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And perhaps I'll finish with a couple more. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. See, as we allow the love of God to flow into us and to change our thinking, remember my chairs, as this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of God, who is love, flows into us, he will want to enlighten us with that reality. And it was so lovely when you see a church that of God's people that are actually doing that, you know, and not inward fighting. We're not worried about, you know, this bit of how we run a service or that bit or anything else. We're concerned that we love God and we love one another and we love the people that come through the door. And you love the preacher. Was that an amen, Gordon? Thank you, mate. I've only brought him along just to keep me encouraged, really. If I suddenly stop, it is because I brought Lynn with me and she'd give me one of those wifely looks just over her glasses. Means time to stop, Brian. So the first thing is the evidence then of walking with Jesus is that love is demonstrated. And love and faith can't be separated. The second point I want to come to is verses 16 to 19. Paul is praying for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to be given. Verse 17. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope for which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and the incomparably great power for us who believe. That's that he's praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come. Or the Living Bible puts it a bit like this: I pray for you constantly, asking God to give you the spirit of wisdom. That is, wisdom to see clearly the reality of who Christ is and what he's done for you. That we might constantly see who Christ is and what he's done for us. It's so easy sometimes just to forget that our faith is centered in Christ alone, nothing else. Jesus alone. When I go to places and Jesus doesn't get a mention, and he should be mentioned not just as a person who's sitting in the back wall listening to your prayers. We can talk to him, you know, as well. It makes me smile sometimes. We say, I've got a relationship with Jesus, but I never talk to him. I only talk about him. Ooh, that's tried on a theological tone now, isn't it? I won't go into that, so you'll have to forgive me, but I will at some stage, because I'm so concerned in my heart that we actually, how can I possibly ever, I've been married to Lynn for over 50 years, I have a relationship with my wife, but I never talk to her. She says, good job too, really. We talk about him, we talk through him, but actually, I think a greater understanding is that he, well, I'll come on to it in a minute, but let's not downplay who Jesus is. He is God, the Son, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He has always been God and will always be God. But that's another story for us to think about. That's just get your mind going, won't it, a little bit, really? Because otherwise we get prayers saying, I thank you, Father, that you died for us on the cross. He didn't. Jesus died for us on the cross. That's actually a heresy. That's an incorrect thing to say. Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity. So today, what I want us to do, Paul's trying to say, let's have a big picture of our God. A big, big picture. Let's not get him pinned down. A big, big picture of this Saviour who is the answer to the world's needs. He's the answer to my needs. He's the answer to the problems of the world. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can smile at that if you want to. That's it, because he is. Amen. Have a little smile at me as well. That'd be nice. Thank you. He says, I'm constantly asking God to give you a clear understanding of who Christ is and what he's done. That he is God, and what he's done, he's come to planet Earth to rescue us. You see, and who illuminates our mind? The spirit of revelation. The spirit of wisdom. A name for the third person of the Holy Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. He's known also as the Spirit of Wisdom, the Spirit of Revelation. You see, it's the Holy Spirit who prepares a non-believer's soul and mind, starts to flood their thinking and their emotions and their whole inner being to the reality of the need for a Saviour. God, the Holy Spirit, brings that revelation about Jesus. I would never have chosen Jesus, would you? I wouldn't have done. But the Holy Spirit draws us. He prepares us and illuminates our souls and our minds to receive Jesus. He does give us wisdom to see Jesus clearly, not just at first, but throughout the whole of our lives. And there are times sometimes when we don't see him as clearly as we could do. Church can take over. House can take over. Lack of finance can take over. Or just being sloppy with the relationship, you know, where we don't bother to talk to each other. But the Holy Spirit gives us the desire and the ability to live for Jesus. The desire to understand that Jesus is still the way to live. He is still the truth, and he still gives life. And it's the Holy Spirit of revelation and of wisdom that helps us keep following Jesus. Do you ever feel that Spirit within you? I'm sure you, each and every one of us does. Do you? I do. Prompting us. Guiding us. Let's make sure when we pray that we leave enough space to listen to that prompting of the Spirit. That still small voice that gives us peace. That voice that says, this is the way. Walk in it. It just lets you know that you're not alone. Because you're not. Because where is God's Spirit? Here. In every believer. Omnipresent. Presence of God. In each and every believer. It's the Spirit of God prompting us and guiding us. Revealing his will. What's best? And what I want to tell you, that this wisdom that comes from the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit, this wisdom and revelation doesn't come from human activity, from human cleverness. We don't get spiritual wisdom from human cleverness, from human ability, even from religious ritual. And dare I say, sometimes not even at a members' meeting. Oh. Don't write to the local minister, you know, regional minister, say I'm a heretic. He already knows. But it comes when we ask. If you lack wisdom, the scripture says, ask for it. You know, there will come a time, hopefully not a too distant future, where you will be asked to affirm, if that's right, to ask the question of God, is this the man or woman that you are giving us to be our pastor? Because actually you'll have your set of ideas and I'll have mine and the deacons will have theirs. But the most important thing is this the person that God is gifting you for this time? That requires us to ask for wisdom. That will come through as we read scripture, as we share together, as we are open to say, I don't know, but you do. That wisdom doesn't come from human knowledge. And let me tell you where else it doesn't come from. The internet. Okay, it doesn't. Our God is bigger than anything you can do like this. Bigger than artificial intelligence. I mean, it's pitiful compared to the gloriousness of our God. And the scripture says Jesus holds the whole cosmos together. I told you I'd make Jesus quite big today, Lynn, didn't I? And that's what I want us to do. He is much bigger. If that's it, and I tell you what, when we seek him, when young people seek him, they don't end up with depression and a stress, which we're understanding now is the one of the problems of so much life lived on the web. But actually, he gives love, joy, peace, patience. It's he that gives fullness of life. Of course, the internet's important. Of course, our members' meetings are important. All those things are important. But actually, he gives us the wisdom. And it doesn't come through following some sort of religious ritual. We have to do church like this. We have to do leaders' meetings like this. We have to do something else like that. Or we have to sing these number of songs. Actually, we don't. I'll let you know a little secret. I think if the Lord walks through the door, we won't sing again. I think our faces will be on the ground. Whoever are their needs might have got, don't you? I think so. when we see him for who he really is. You see, no, it doesn't come from human cleverness, ability, ritual, or the internet or anything else. Wisdom and revelation comes from God, the Holy Spirit. We can receive divine help. It's what Paul's praying for the church here. Divine guidance. The wisdom of heaven. There are times when we simply don't know how to pray and we have to say, Lord, help me. I don't know how to pray. Help me in my weakness. When we recognise our human limitations, the gloriousness of our God can break through individually and corporately. Amen? Are you sure you're still there? How long have I had? I'm breaking my promise. I understand if I don't get finished on time, I'll never get out of Woodendene until after the football. Don't tell me things like that. I've got a cat to feed. So let's continually say, Lord, I don't know, but will you enlighten me? Will you illuminate my mind and my thinking? That's what Paul is praying for. Not just for the Ephesians, but for you and I as well. Jesus says this of human wisdom in Luke 10, verse 21. It's a paraphrase. Father, you have hidden these things from the worldly wise, from the clever, and you've revealed your wisdom to those with childlike trust. You've hidden the reality of your greatness from the world. But for those who have childlike trust, you have revealed your glorious truth. You've revealed the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done. Verse 18 talks about our minds being illuminated, I think. Let me just find it. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. God the Holy Spirit, literally that verse means God the Holy Spirit floods our souls with light. Did that happen to you when you came to faith? For most folk, he floods our minds, our souls, with divine light. And that's what needs to be an ongoing experience, to help us understand all that Jesus has done for us in the past, right now, and for the future. And it's an incredible future that God has in store for us. It's a future. When we use the word hope, we know that's a much bigger word than, it's not just, I hope it'll be all right. But actually, no, it's going to be fantastic. It's a word that talks of future glorious things. These, I said to Liz earlier, I said, this getting older, like, it's not all it's cut out to be, really, is it? Shall I tell you what? We won't have to worry about that in the new heaven and the new earth. Doctor's appointments, hospital appointments, leaky heart valves and all the rest of it will be a thing of the past. All brought for us by Jesus, who gives us a hope for the future. And God the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit in us, guaranteeing that hope. You probably read about that the last time you looked at these scriptures. I've got stop here in a big, bold thing, because I think it would be good for us to have a little break for a minute and just to take a moment to reflect and think, goodness me, Lord, you are big. You're great. You're awesome. Far beyond, however old we get, there's still so much more of him to experience. And just think what it might be like when we see him face to face. Amen. We're going to have a song that says, "You are the King of Glory." Give me a chance to get my breath back. For us to reflect. So we'll stay seated, if you like, while we sing this song.